The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.
Well, good morning. It's about 32 minutes past the hour of 8 o'clock. This is Hannah Flohr, and I'm here for the Common Good this morning with Sue Flint and Melissa Caraway. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. And we're going to be talking about quilting this morning. Melissa, you are visiting Petersburg. I don't know where you're visiting from.
We live on Bainbridge Island outside of Seattle now.
Okay. And you're visiting for your fall quilting week. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. I spoke to Sally Dwyer yesterday, and she said you come up here, try and come up here every year to do some quilting.
Right. And I like coming at this time of year because then I can go pick cranberries.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I can do two things at once, two of my favorite things.
Wonderful. You have a workshop. The Rain Country Quilters have a workshop that's happening today through Sunday. Is it a workshop or is it a get-together? What exactly is it?
It's 4 days of classes. A two-day class starting today that's an improv class. And then Saturday's a pumpkin wall hanging and a table runner on Sunday, followed by a show and tell.
A show and tell for people to show all of the different projects they've worked on in the class or just projects in general?
Projects from the class.
Okay.
Yeah,
right. Gotcha.
And everyone's invited to come and see.
About 3 o'clock on Sunday.
3 o'clock on Sunday. Mm-hmm. And that's at the Holy Cross House of the Lutheran Church.
Yep.
Okay. So I want to know a little bit more about your history of quilting. Melissa, you had a quilt shop here in Petersburg years ago.
I did, but it started long before that. It started in the mid-80s, and when the rotary cutter became available for quilters, and we just, there was a group of us that got together and just loved it and started supporting each other, and it grew from there.
Why was the rotary cutter the thing that really got you into quilting?
Well, because before that, everything was done with scissors, and rotary cutters is like, it's a tool that looks kind of like a pizza cutter. It's a very sharp razor, and so you can go through multiple layers of fabric at the same time with a very accurate cut. And so it just sped things along. It used to, my first quilt took me 5 years to make, and now I probably do five and eight a month.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that just changed.
The efficiency is.
The efficiency. Because, and the accuracy.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. And before, you had to cut out every single little piece with a pair of scissors. So you were,
if after you traced the template, it also got rid of templates.
Right, right.
Talk a little bit about that. What's the template?
The template would be a hard surface shape, triangle or square or something that you would cut around. And now we could just strip cut things.
Mm.
And we have triangle rulers and stuff that you can rotary cut.
So, you just have these big plastic rulers and you put your rotary cutter up against it and you can just cut out your pieces like choop, 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 choop.
Yeah, there's no tracing templates and cutting on the line and all that.
So it's just much more efficient and fun. And now there's curved rulers, and that will be what the classes are on Saturday and Sunday, is using a curved ruler.
Okay. So it makes it possible to do, it sounds like, the part that is more fun, which is assembling the quilt, and less of the part that is less fun, which
that's
is cutting out
well,
the pieces.
Well, it's a personal choice.
Yeah.
Some people really, there are so many different stages of quilting, and some people really like that cutting out. I have one student who likes to cut everything one at a time. Drives me nuts.
But
that's what she enjoys.
Yeah.
It's not the part I enjoy the most.
What part do you enjoy?
I think probably the conceptualizing, planning it, you know, looking at different fabrics and how they play together is probably my favorite part.
How do you know, when it's a combination that you're excited about?
Well, that's a very good question.
You get excited.
You get excited, yeah. I mean, it just feels right.
Yeah,
you know,
it's all good.
It's all good. It's balanced. It's playful.
And do you do it in your head, or do you just have piles of fabric where you sit there and you sort through them and you put them next to each other? Like, how does that process work when you're conceptualizing it?
It varies by quilt. Okay. Sometimes I start with a pattern, and then I think, okay, what fabrics would play well with this plant pattern, which would show off. Sometimes I start with a focus piece of fabric, and then I find supporting characters to play with it.
Hmm.
There's lots of different ways that my mind works on that.
Is this something that you feel like you were good at, you had a knack for when you got into quilting, or have you gotten better at it over time?
I've definitely gotten better at it, but I did have a natural... I got lucky with one of my first quilts, and then I began to realize, okay, what is it that makes this work? And began studying that, and then I did a lot of art classes.
Mm. Like color theory art classes?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Texture, yeah.
Hmm.
And that really cemented it. How about you, Sue?
That part is harder for me than for you. I don't have the art background, and I really like the focus fabric to get me going.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So you find a fabric that you're really excited about, and that's the sort of focus of the quilt, and mm-hmm. then you build it around that.
Mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. helps me.
Yeah.
And Melissa helps me a lot, too.
You're very kind, Sue. Very kind. Sometimes the manufacturer will come up with a complete palette, and that helps some people too.
Mm-hmm.
So
do you ever find yourself disagreeing with that palette sort of tweaking it?
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which makes it fun. And that unexpected part.
Mm, yeah, because the unexpected kind of adds a little bit of tension that sometimes is
right. And that's pleasant. A great word for it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you said that before the rotary cutter, the rotary cutter was what really got you guys into quilting. But I want to know the moment when you know, maybe you had done a couple quilts and you're like, oh, this is something that I want to do more of.
I was given, when I was pregnant with Karin 40 some years ago, a little tree topper muslin ornament kit from my mother-in-law. And you quilted these little angel wings. And I had never quilted anything, so I was following the directions, and I just loved the dimension that added.
Mm.
And I kind of got hooked on that. I thought, oh, I might like to play with this a little more. My sister was working in Juneau at the bookstore, and I said, send me some books on quilting. That was my moment.
Hmm.
I don't know that I had a moment. I just had lots of fun,
mm-hmm.
and the more fun I had, the more creative I got, and mm-hmm. did a lot more of the what ifs.
Yeah.
What if I did this?
And Melissa came to town about
83
to mm-hmm. be the principal at elementary school.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And she rented the apartment from my mother, and she had this little basket of quilt squares, blue and yellow and white.
Yes, that was that first quilt.
And I was just still reading books about quilting, and so we kind of got together and got a teacher to come to town.
Oh, okay.
But there had been there were little groups here already quilting, mostly by hand with templates. And then this little, I think she was in her 80s, Elsie mm-hmm. Laurie's auntie mm-hmm. or somebody, came to town and showed us the rotary cutter.
And that changed our lives.
Yeah.
Literally changed our lives, yeah.
And so once you were taught how to use the rotary cutter, you got a group together. And was that kind of the beginning point for the Rain Country Quilters?
It was. And mm-hmm. it was several years that we just kind of got together and shared ideas. And then in the late 80s, we decided to organize into a guild.
Mm, okay. And what's the difference between just getting together and sharing ideas and organizing into a guild?
A meeting with minutes and plans,
oh.
you know, instead of just gathering at a home for coffee and working right. on whatever.
But right. we also had goals for the guild, and that was to support the craft and to support each other. And some of us started selling quilts at that time. And then community service was also a part of it.
Oh, interesting.
And an annual quilt show.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And do the Rain Country Quilters have that quilt show anymore?
We have had it every year except those COVID years.
Okay.
And we're hoping to have one again October.
Good.
We'll be finding out real soon.
Yeah. Do you have new members joining, people who are getting into quilting?
Our youngest member has kids in college right now. We're mostly pretty gray-haired. We have one high school student taking a class on Saturday, and we're excited about that. And we would
the
love
pressure on her is tremendous.
We would love
that's
to
not
have
true, honey.
some new blood, but that's just the way it is right now.
Yeah.
Kids are busy, and young women are busy
yeah.
with families and jobs and children and driving. And
I
give it all
take
back.
This class, but I
put it back to young women now, younger than us at least, do the physical stuff. They go running or they go to the gym, whereas we used to go to the sewing machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely go more to the sewing machine than, yeah. than I go to the gym.
Yeah.
But yes, I am quite busy. I'm curious about how you think your time in Petersburg would have been different if you hadn't had quilting and the sort of social aspect and the creative aspect.
Sue's looking at me. It was just part of my identity, which I speaks volumes, I think, to the craft. The sharing with other people that you didn't normally come in contact with on a daily basis, but you shared a common interest.
Mm.
And so it gave you much more of a feeling of belonging, which is important to everyone, I think.
For years, we met up at Mountain View Manor in the dining room. And so we had all those residents coming down and visiting us. We would have a sewing day every month up there,
mm-hmm.
and we'd all be working on something different usually. And so you met those people. But it's like in the summer, who has time to quilt? It's a great
We're supposed
rainy
to be outside
day,
then.
Fall, winter. Mm-hmm. So our climate kind of is conducive to that.
Yeah.
Reading and quilting.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
The quilting community in Alaska was very strong and very progressive early on in the quilting rebirth. And I think a lot of that was due to the weather. You know, we spend so much time indoors.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. Yeah. But no, Alaska was very well known for their creative artists up here.
When you say progressive, you mean doing things that were new and interesting?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You would think that it might be just the common traditional quilts, but no, there's been lots of innovative things come out of the
yeah.
state.
Mm-hmm. Which leads me to see, you said the first class today and tomorrow is about improv quilting. Can you talk a little bit about what that means?
Well, you don't have a specific pattern.
Right.
Sometimes you're free cutting with your rotary cutter layers of fabric and then putting them back together.
How do you know? I mean, I guess maybe you don't know it's going to work out. How much sort of trial and error is involved in an improv quilt?
This class is really good for introducing the improv process because it's somewhat controlled. And the further you get down the process, the more creative you can become. But it gives you a place to start, which for most of us traditional quilters, that's a really good safety net.
Mm.
But you don't know. You don't know where this is going to take you. That's why it's called improv.
It seems like maybe you'd be more present in the moment when you're doing it because you have to sort of check in with yourself and see whether or not you like what's happening. Is that true?
For me, it's just the opposite.
Oh. Huh.
To me, I just start playing and putting stuff together and see what comes out of it, and, oh, don't like that, I'll cut that up some more. So it just, you just play.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of scary for some people. Yeah. But once you get the hang of it, it's very freeing.
Where does your mind go when you're doing that?
Everywhere. Yeah.
Are you thinking about the colors in the quilt, or are you just...
Sometimes I am, but most of the time I'm just grabbing and sewing things together, and then sometimes it just frees my mind to go remember other quilts, or where did I use this fabric in another quilt, or who mm-hmm. got that quilt that had this fabric in it, or mm-hmm. or maybe this would be a good color for so-and-so, you know, so yeah. it goes everywhere. Hmm. It just frees up my mind is the way it works for me.
Yeah.
How about you?
I'm a beginner. This is my first improv class. I've done little things. We've got stack and whack quilts where you layer a bunch of fabrics and cut them up, uh-huh. but straight lines pretty much.
Yeah.
And other techniques like that are fun, but I haven't done this particular style.
How are you
before.
Feeling about it?
Well, it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I am not the artist person. Like, I'm the stick figure drawer. I like plaids and stripes. And
yeah. You know. Which is great, too. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing wrong
we
with
We all
that.
Have our favorite fabric mm-hmm. lines and colors and...
So then going back to what we were talking about before, Melissa was saying that her favorite is the conceptualizing part of the process. What's your favorite part of the process?
Well, it takes a long time to find something you want to do or what I want to do. And then when you see a pattern that sparks your interest, I guess that's it. And then the fun starts, the fabric. Mm-hmm. Touching the fabric and
oh, yeah.
putting the colors together and that kind of stuff.
That's the fun part.
Yeah.
But she also likes to put the bindings on.
Oh, I do. It's very relaxing, brainless, handwork.
And that's the very last step, right? Mm-hmm. Where you,
and then it's
you've
all
got your
done.
Sort of like quilt sandwich with yes. the puffy stuff in the middle and then the fabric, the quilt on the front, the fabric on the back. And you have to put the binding around the edge.
So there are no raw mm-hmm. edges, right?
Yeah.
It just
so I stack
cleans
mine
it
up and... When Sue comes to visit, then she does all my handwork for me.
Are you serious?
I am serious. Is that a good deal or what?
It's a very good deal. Wait, yeah. So you have like 10 quilts that you've finished except for the binding. They're yeah. all sitting there. And then Sue comes to visit and does your binding for
yeah.
you.
Yeah. And then I hand her my top and my backing and she quilts it for me.
You
it's a trade-off.
A very symbiotic relationship.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
You have 10 quilts and you're like, Sue, time for a visit.
Yeah. Yeah. Luckily, she comes frequently.
Okay, good.
I can do my own, though. I do sometimes.
It's just not your favorite part.
It's not my favorite.
Okay.
And I know it is hers.
That's very generous of you to let her do
thank
yours.
Thank you. Yeah, that's what I think, too.
What advice do you have or encouragement do you have for people who are maybe a little interested in quilting, maybe intimidated by it, or like me, overwhelmed with the whole color choosing? What would you say to people who are not experienced but curious?
There are so many outlets available now. Of course, being a teacher, my first thought is take a good class from mm-hmm. a good teacher. And then the manufacturers of fabric now are very tuned into quilting. It's the major part of their business. So they will come up with a collection that goes together. So you can... find that in your quilt stores or online. For me personally, online shopping is very difficult for fabric, but it works for some and it's a necessity for many in Petersburg. excuse me. But then start there and then start thinking about what study things, you know, look at things and what makes your eye enjoyable.
And you can start small. You can quilt a placemat or a table runner.
That's
know,
a good point.
Or
yeah.
baby quilts. You don't have to make any big commitment, and then you can just have fun without much investment.
Mm. Baby mm-hmm. quilts are a great idea.
Right.
Yeah.
They're small. They're mm-hmm. less intimidating.
Right.
Babies don't care. They just like them.
That's right. No judgment there.
Right. And the point about... people wanting to fill the fabric beforehand. I was just thinking about, you know, you had your shop, Melissa, mm-hmm. for a long time here in Petersburg. But Sue, what do you do not being able to order or not being able to buy fabric in town anymore? Do you just order it or?
Yeah, online. I just had, I just got a backing for a quilt that I was so disappointed in. It looked like a beautiful yellow online and it came and it was kind of, I don't know, grayed. yellow, and I was so disappointed. But, you know, I am lucky I get to travel. My daughter lives in Eugene, Oregon, with a wonderful quilt shop there. And so
you bring an extra suitcase every time you travel for the...
Yeah, well, you know, we didn't have a quilt shop for a long time here, so we all would go shopping when we'd leave the island and buy these huge quantities of fabric. Thankfully, those days are over, but we all have quite a bit. It's called our stash.
Yeah.
And
do you think that you'll make it through that fabric?
I don't know that I'll live long enough. I'm
She's
working
not
on it.
Live long enough.
I'm working on it, but yeah.
But you also need to bring new stuff in to rejuvenate it. Not that you can't use some of your older fabric, but if you only sew with the older fabric, it looks like it's an older quilt.
Yeah.
You know, it's not
dates
as...
It.
Because the style of the fabric is changing.
Yes.
And the colors change. Yeah.
So there are trends when it comes to...
Certainly.
Tell me what's trendy right now in the quilting world.
Batiks are still strong. Kay Fassett is a designer that lots of people really enjoy.
Yeah, I love his stuff. That's what I'm working in today.
He's a really... I know him from his knitting design.
He's
a very, very bright,
very colorful,
fun,
strong,
super cheerful.
And
he turned 85 this year, so... He's got an 85 collection.
Yeah.
Oh.
that Sue has. Aboriginal quilts, fabrics from Australia, are pretty popular right now.
And that would be maybe more of like a browns and oranges and reds with like dots and lines.
Yep, lots of dots.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just what we call modern fabrics. They're just...
Oh, I went crazy for grunge. I've got a lot of grunge, and I've made a lot of grunge quilts.
What is a grunge fabric?
It's a surface that looks like you rubbed sandpaper,
tone on
dirt,
tone.
You know, kind of. It's got a lot of gray stuff in it. And
very textural.
Yeah, yeah.
But no design. I mean, it's just...
Well, they have some with stars.
They do.
And
they
things,
do. That's
but
true.
Basically, it's... Solid.
This is just making me really want to see a quilt show in October because it's so hard to talk about these things and not see the examples.
Samples, yeah. You should come up on Sunday afternoon if you can.
I would love
and
to.
And just come and take a quick look.
Or anytime during the weekend, we'll be there.
Is it okay for folks in the community to drop by these workshops, even if they're not signed up, just to sort of see what's going on? That won't be disruptive.
It will be somewhat disruptive if I'm in, thank you for asking, if I'm in the middle of teaching something. But if people are in the sewing stages, it's not. Most people like to have somebody come and talk to them about what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So you look like you wanted to add something. You've got your notes
I just have a few things that that we do as a group.
And I think that's important.
One of the biggest is our Quilt of Valor program.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, tell me more about that.
Well, there's a whole series of quilts that are called Quilt of Valor, and they're made to honor veterans. And our group has done over 100 of them. And we give them out here locally to our veterans in Petersburg. Usually at the Veterans Day Parade, they give one out, at least one, hopefully more. Some of the other things we do is we, at our quilt show or at Oktoberfest, we have a silent auction and we sell small pieces. We use that money to donate to KFSK, Beat the Odds, and other needs in the community.
And sorry, you said that's at Oktoberfest. And is Oktoberfest when you have your quilt show as well? So those go together?
We used to always be in the high school commons. We might try something different this year. We're not sure yet because we've kind of lost our hanging crew.
Older bodies aren't as
it's
capable.
It was a huge job and ropes and all ladders and stuff.
Right.
So anyway, but stay tuned. We'll let you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about the Quilts of Valor? Where did that idea come from?
It started how many years ago? I don't remember.
Probably about 10. It's a national movement.
Yeah. And the one fun thing we do with that is the high school has a day of service, the last day of school before Christmas. And so we take a classroom over there and the kids sign up to make a quilt. And that's been going on for 3 or 4 years. And it's really special. And like the one I worked with last year was making it for her grandpa.
Oh, that's really nice.
No, I can't talk.
Why was she making it for her grandpa?
Well, he was a veteran. He didn't live in Petersburg, but they just took it down south to him. Mm. Yeah. And it's an emotional thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And probably an emotional process to work through when you're sewing the quilt and getting to think about that person and why you're making the quilt.
Yeah, and then it's also fun for the kids. We've had a lot of boys. We've even had a couple coaches come in and learn how to run a sewing machine.
How cool.
And Carol Candle's in charge of that program, and she has a scrapbook and photos of everybody who's made one and donated it. The recipients getting their quilts. And
oh, that's really neat.
Yeah, it's a really great project.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left. Is there anything else that either of you want to add?
No, I think you've done a good job of picking our brains, being creative. It's a great hobby, and one that should certainly be shared with others. Lots of my customers and students always say it's cheaper than therapy. Not that therapy isn't good too, but you do get to reflect. Mm-hmm. On things and people that you care about when you're sewing. So
yeah,
it's a very healing process for me and for many others, I think.
That makes sense. Is it different to be working on it when you're by yourself versus working on it in a group with your friends and people in the guild?
Yes, very different. You can only do things with people if you know what you're doing because there's so much chatting going on and talking and so if you really need to concentrate on something, I need to do it by myself. But it's really fun in a class because there's lots of talk at the beginning, and then there's a point in it that it becomes quiet and everybody's into their own process. And that's probably one of my favorite parts of the teaching.
Just watching people sink into their project.
Sink into it and really, yeah, get into it. So
we have an annual retreat every President's Weekend for 2 or 3 days. We rent a hall and set up our stuff, and that's been really fun just to get together, and everybody works on their own thing, but it's social. Mm-hmm. Too, and a good time. You can just set aside and get a whole big thing done in a couple days and just leave it set out, and
yeah,
that's been fun.
Have
too
pretty good turnout for those now, don't mm-hmm. you
mm-hmm. And that happens here in Petersburg.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. Well, I look forward to hearing about that as well. Thank you both so much for coming in. And
thank you.
Again, the show and tell, if people want to see what you've made over the weekend, is Sunday at 3 mm-hmm. at the Holy Cross House. And if people decide that they're interested in signing up last minute for these workshops, can they still get a hold of you?
Yes.
Okay. What's your phone number?
907-518-0196.
Okay. And those classes are today from, are they 9 to 3?
10 till 3.
10 till 3 every day.
Yeah. This is a two-day class.
Sunday. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then Saturday is a pumpkin wall hanging, and Sunday is a table runner.
Okay. Wonderful.
And both of those use a special ruler.
Okay.
But we can work around that if somebody
wants. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you again.
Thanks for having us, Hannah.
The Common Good on KFSK is brought to you by the Petersburg Community Foundation, an affiliate of the Alaska Community Foundation. The Petersburg Community Foundation is devoted to improving the lives of the young, the elderly, and vulnerable populations, as well as creating recreation, education, and safety programs. The Petersburg Community Foundation, making grants to local nonprofits through a permanent endowment. More information at petersburgcf.org.